Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is January 13, 2010. Still can't get used to saying that, 2010. Okay, so just so everyone knows that, and I want to make it clear that this is pre-recorded tape of the Kramer Women Luncheon that I attended last week in Manhattan at the ABC Studios. And in attendance was Kristen Alderson, Brittany Underwood, Melissa Fumero, Laura Bonarigo, Cassie DePaiva, Gina Tognoni, and the amazing Robin Strasser. So tonight what you will hear is snippets from Kristen Alderson and Brittany Underwood, and you will hear a conversation with Robin Strasser. Now, I chose not to edit any of it because, I listened to the whole thing, and you know what? Stardish is all about, you know, that, oh, those unexpected conversations, and it's just like, you know, having a chat with your friends, and that's exactly what it was. So I chose not to edit it and make it sound taped and all, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but boxy and just so proper. This is all a general conversation with everyone, so this is what I want you to do, is to realize that. So nothing is edited. You may hear, oh, Megan, that's okay. You can download it. And then don't forget, let me just reiterate, too, for everyone. On the 24th, which is a Sunday, and I usually don't do shows on the weekends, but I'm making a special exception, on the 24th of this month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Robin Strasser will be joining us live to do a live podcast. Now, that's freaking amazing on its own. So, I mean, I expect everyone to come out and pay homage to her on Sunday night, the 24th. It's wonderful. And then I'm working, Kristen and Brittany are going to come back on live also within the next couple of weeks, so I'll keep you posted on that. Everyone, pointing you all to the new website, stardishradio.net. It's still a work in progress, so just keep checking back, and there'll be some pretty cool stuff up there for you guys. And so let me see who I have here on the switchboard, just so everyone knows that it's a taped recording. I'm going to bring Brandon on. Hey, Brandon. Hello? Oh, okay, I guess not. I can't get nobody on. All right, I know. Tony's there. Tony.
Hey, Joanne.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I am so excited to hear this show tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know what I want everybody to realize is that because it is unedited, you know, I learned a lesson from the Super Soap Weekend interviews that I did. This time I went stacked and ready to go. I brought my laptop. I had a nice microphone. Mm-hmm. So just so you guys know, you're probably not going to hear anything come out of my mouth. But you will, because I made sure the microphone was in their face so you guys would hear everything that they had to say.
Right.
So the conversations, I think you'll be able to figure out, and I will interject if you guys, you know, are telling me you came here, but it's pretty self-explanatory, I believe. So I think you will be okay. You're a pretty smart bunch. So, Tony, I'm going to put you back on hold. And
okay.
I'm going to play the first airing of the interview. So hang on. I'm going to start off with the very beginning, and what you're going to hear is Lori Hogan, ABC's One Life to Live publicity director, welcoming everyone. And I must say, I was in attendance with Roger Newcomb and Damon L. Jacobs from We Love Soaps. Dan J. Kroll was there, ABC Soaps in Depth, SoapNet, ABC.com, DelanaDixon.com was there. So we were in very, very good company. And so you're going to hear all of these people asking questions. It was a collaboration in the beginning, and then we broke off into one-on-ones as best we could. So So that's what you are going to hear right now. So enjoy.
We're going to start with a little group Q&A, and then, you know, we'll break into smaller groups and eat some food and chat. But I wanted to do this at the start of the new year to celebrate one of the best things about One Life to Live, which is strong women. And no one else can emulate that better than these ladies, the Kramer women. So I brought you here. Most of you were very kind in naming One Life
most
the best of. Those who didn't, I let you down. Well, I'll be private lunch with you next week. But I really wanted you to be able to chat with these wonderful ladies. It's a wonderful thing to have them all on the show together. So I think Jessie's going to start us off with the first question. Jessie Murray from Soapnet. So.
Hi. I know a lot of you, but I don't know all of you. But my name is Jessie. I work for Soapnet.com and ABC.com.
Hi, Jessie.
Wait, let me introduce.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to do that.
Well, I'm going to start in the middle. She needs no introduction.
This is Robin.
Paint drop.
Hi, I'm Robin Strauss.
I'm happy to
pie. Don't know me.
Kristen Alderson. And Brittany Underwood.
On the other side, Gina.
Gina,
welcome back,
Gina. Yay! Yay! Elizabeth Romero has come back to play with us. And Omar Bonarito has also come back.
Yay!
So now, chat away.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. I guess my question that I wanted to ask you all, and feel free to sort of pitch in, is why do you think the Kramers are such a unique family? Because certainly I think they're one of the most unique parts of One Life to Live, and the fans love them and are obsessed with this family. Why do you think this family has struck such a chord with viewers over the years?
You can start with some.
I'm changing my seat. I do think it truly comes from Robin Strasser, because she is the reason most people tune in to watch One Life to Live, and we just fall. You know, she's the tree, and we are her branches, and I think it works based on that dynamic. The Kramer issue. We chase insanity every day because that's part of our background. It keeps us together. It's our greatest fear that we're all going to fall into that state of insanity. And I think that is what propels us to try to be the complete woman. Yet each of us fall short in a different way, but together we are the fucking Kramer. On this tree. So yeah. And I didn't even plan that.
If it turns out I'm being punked, you're all going to be
that is a great answer. I mean, I don't know if anybody else. Well, thank you.
All right. Well,
next. Actually, I wanted to talk about for a second with Gina, you coming back, and I remember back when I was sort of first starting to watch the show.
Introduce yourself.
I'm sorry, I'm Joey. I'm also at Soapnet and ABC.com.
Oh, great. Okay.
So, but just being back, and I remember back when you were on the show, and Kelly and Blair had that sort of wonderful kind of rival, you know, they were cousins, but there were rivalries and everything like that. And coming back to the show, are you sort of excited to get back into that whole dynamic?
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think also what's kind of neat is because being the first Kelly, I got to grow with her and go through those stages as well, the audience. And now we, you know, fast forward 2010, we get to see Kelly come back as a woman. And how Blair responds to that, how Dorian responds to that, and her other extended family, and her cousin. And it's something that, you know, is going to be alive as we see it. It's going to develop
right
in front of us. And I think you're going to see women that are strong, and hold on to their own ground, but at the same time have vulnerability. So, and I like that. That's why I said yes. I said this is great.
Right.
It's just endless.
I hope that they really capitalize on our, we've always had tension, but at the same time, that my relationship with Kelly Gina was different than my relationship with other Kellys, and I think that we're beyond that petulance. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they write it mature tension as opposed to,
sure,
we can't go back to,
will,
you know, when she was 16 and, you know, Blair was 25, although, you know, I'm trying.
We all are.
Yeah,
and not to make it all about me, but when they announced that Guiding Light was going off the air, the only good news to me was, Gina, does this mean we can get to IHOP, you know, and I just was hoping that I heard hoofbeats of, you know, ABC saddling up to go and court her.
Absolutely.
We're so blessed to have her. She's an unbelievable actress, was, and has grown into something really special and incredible, and she will bring a great dynamic back to the show, along with Laura Bonarigo, and it's just, it's nice, and Melissa, I mean, it's just nice to have such powerful women that really, really get to play together.
You know, also, and adding on to what Cassie said, these are women that are not afraid of their own power. And that's very different than what we see across daytime, I think. This is a group of people that own it, that like themselves, but have something to accomplish. And that's rarity.
And some of us try to sell it really hard.
You know, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's very good to see.
Thank you.
Hi.
This has been a long time since I've seen all you guys. Delana Dixon, formerly as TV Guide. Now I have my own site, DelanaDixon.com. So I have a question for the young, new Kramer women that I don't know as much about. Tell me what you've learned from these fabulous women who have been on the show for a little bit longer. Well, you're a veteran yourself. But what have you learned from the matriarchs of the Kramer women?
Well, I was sort of born into it. When I came to the show, I was 6 and a half, and they all took me under their wing, and I was the up-and-coming Kramer girl, so they really shaped Star into, like, the perfect mold of, all right, you're going to be a strong woman, and Dorian reminds me of that every day that I see her. And it's been really, really fun, and what was really great was when Langston came on the show, and Star was like, okay, you're getting into a whole new breed of people. We are, you know, everyone's really super strong, we're a really close family, we might not get along all the time, but it's because we love each other so much, and we really care, and yeah, so I think it was really fun when we got to do scenes, and I introduced you to Blair and Dorian got to, you know, talk to Langston a lot about how powerful they are.
Langston loved Dorian. Right away, she just saw that. She had that kind of, like, fiery energy inside her, and also, yeah, kind of the way she was with men, and Langston's kind of, you know, picked up on that, and she definitely did feel kind of at home when she did come home with Star, and, you know, not having her family around anymore, has really taken to them and really likes where she is right now.
Yeah, I think Star also, when she was younger, she was bratty, she was really mischievous, and she took after kind of the Manning persona with Todd. And now that she's gotten older and matured, she's really gotten close with her mom during her pregnancy.
Because she's a whore, too.
But, yeah, I think that Blair and Star got a lot closer, and Star really really wanted to be that Kramer woman and really started to appreciate the fact that she was part of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this is a group of team player divas and actresses. They bring their A-plus game, but they work and play very well with each other. Yeah. I think that's one of our really strong suits. And as people, we may not be, you know, going to the mall on a regular basis. So anytime Cassie calls and says, I got the car, you want to go shopping?
Bargain shopping.
Bargain shopping. And we love, anyway, that I digress. But the relationships that we have, the strength between us as characters, is informed by the fact that as women, it's a very, very bright group that I think brings to the set all the stuff they have as people, and it translates, and it's very visible in the way they play their characters. We've got that bond. I don't want to over talk it.
Tutor Horn, but she raises the bar, and so we all have to show up ready to go. And and I think that is the beauty of the Cramer women. We truly, we want to do our best and be strong and be wonderful because we have to.
When we want a shortcut, like we'll look at a script and we'll go, and we'll Cramerize it. Mix this up. Let's get a little bit more dangerous and not so neat. So we Cramerize.
I think what also shows on camera is that we all have worked with each other for a long time, and we work, being on a soap opera, it's from Monday to Friday, and we take so much with each other, and there's a lot of story behind it, there's a lot of history, like Gina was saying, everyone's sort of grown together, and I think that that's what's so great, is that it's really like real life. You get to see characters go from one point to another every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the returning ladies, can you talk a little bit about what your characters have been up to since they've been off screen?
Well, Kelly has been raising her son Zane with Kevin at the family compound in London. And Zane is currently, he is in boarding school. So Kevin and her are not romantically involved, but she has been in London. Comes and joins Adriana in Paris. Mm-hmm. Adriana's working in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And Adriana and I are close. Very bonded, good family, we understand each other. There's a great
And I think also because we're over there by ourselves, I sort of, I watch after, make sure she's okay, and she tells me everything.
And then we are struck with the news that Dorian would like us to come home because there are things happening with Mitch. And we find ourselves coming home to celebrate the event.
And
really? For now.
Yeah, okay.
And Mitch is quite a character. And I've always known about Mitch, but now he's starting to hurt my family. And Dorian's concerned, and I'm concerned, so we come home. And then we have another bomb drop on us as soon as we arrive. And then we sort of work our way through that. So it's kind of interesting. They give the idea that the writers do that we are still close. We still keep in communication with one another. But we're all very individual. So I like that.
Damon from We Love Soaps. This is a general question for all of you, but especially Robin, I'd like to ask you. We've talked about some of the characters, some of the strengths of your characters. What have you learned from your character over the years?
What not to do. Sometimes. That's
can you give an example?
Really, what has Robin learned from
What has Robin learned from Dorian?
Oh, my.
He's heavy now.
I'm heavy.
Gratitude for a nice long career run. Amen. It's stuff like that. I don't think it's really a good idea for actors to dissect the recipe. It's like looking behind the curtain for The Wizard of Oz, if you overanalyze in the wrong way, then you're taking away some of the magic from it. Learning from Dorian. I'll stick with that.
Okay.
What not to do, and then also profound gratitude for a nice long run and a good life on my one life to live.
Thank you. Yeah. Did anyone else?
Well, I've learned a hell of a lot. I've learned what bra to put on.
This is what Blair has learned.
I really believe that Blair has given Cassie Pye the strength. Because she, I opened the script, I can't do that. My mother's going to die. I'm sure she fell off the sofa yesterday with that love scene with me and Ella. Blair's taught me to be right out there and to own it because I have to. I have to walk in here and really own this stuff because it's not something people put on every day, a normal woman. And
I had to own that she's not normal, and I just had to go with it. You know, and know that it's okay, but just be strong.
Great.
Joanne, Stardust Radio.
Hi.
What was it like for all of you to be back on the set together for the first time in, you know, forever,
we
working together?
We haven't
done a set yet.
For our debut.
Just sitting like this is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And we will be later on in a few hours, I think.
Tomorrow will be all of us. Yeah.
Well, what did you feel like when your initial feelings when you found out you were all going to be together again, the whole Kramer women family back home?
For me, there was a sense of just almost relief because there is a familiarity with these girls, new faces to get used to, new energies to get used to, which I love, but a sense of safety because I know who these women are deep down. I've worked with them long enough. I know that they're good people, and I know that there's a place for us to create. So I felt safe. That was my first response.
I'm
glad that we're all together because, you know, times when there would be this cream enrollment, and I'd have to call and say, oh, yeah, oh, I'm sorry you can't get a babysitter in Savannah, Kathy, or other than this in Paris, and, you know, it just really did feel like I had lost pieces of myself. So to have even this unfortunate emergency come up that it brought all of us together, then that was the real good news.
It's really
fabulous.
That
we actually get to do it.
I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, what an investment that they've made over the years, but it has been compartmentalized based on head writers, availability, contracts, but it's wonderful to have us all on campus, and I think it's going to be really special. I'm looking over at Laura because we shared a dressing room. There's so much, and it's just, it's like, oh my gosh, it's wonderful, and it's empowering, and it's powerful. It's great. I think it'll be great. So.
Question is for Melissa. Hi, I'm Jillian from Daytime Confidential. Your character Adriana went from a doormat to a love to hate bitch, coinciding with your haircut. What do you make of the bitchy bang phenomenon?
I actually have to interject. I don't understand how any daytime character becomes bitchy bang. Explain it to me because this was after me.
What happened? It was so hilarious how everything sort of happened at the same time. Basically, my contract was up, and I had like a little break before I came back as recurring to finish the storyline, and I was there till June or whatever. So on the break, I said, I don't know, I got this feeling all of a sudden. I was like, I'm not under contract. I'm going to cut my hair. I'm going to cut bangs. I'm not going to ask permission. So I did, and thank God.
Wasn't like a true Kramer.
You know, 4 years and I was going to have my moment of rebellion to cut bangs. So I came back, and, you know, everybody loved it, whatever. But then when I came back and I got the script, all of a sudden Adriana was standing up for herself and being, you know, bitchy, but more just standing up for herself and being stronger and kind of taking the reins, and I'm not going to lose my man. And I was like, oh my God, how perfect. I've got this sassy new haircut, and they're like making Adriana sassy finally. So it was just kind of a weird coincidence that those two things started happening. And then I don't remember if the fans started saying bitchy bang before I said it in a scene.
Yeah, at the Daytime Confidential, the publisher, he was just joking about it. He was like, what's up with Adriana? She's like, bitchy bang.
So then it kind of caught on. And then I got a script, and they wrote it into the script. And I was like, oh, my God, are you really going to make me say this? And it was very, like, thrown in. And I thought it was funny because people were already calling me that. And I remember the line was sort of, I had to toss it away because, you know, it was very obvious. Really going to acknowledge it.
Did they make you say it?
Yes, I have to say it. I'm like, bitchy day, because I could start a new trend. And I thought it was fun and funny, and I loved that Adriana became bitchy bang. It's just cool. Hilarious.
Any of you other Kramer ladies going to have some bitchy bangs?
Robin's got some bitchy bangs.
Yeah. Oh, I have to. But Blair cut all her hair off when she was mad years and years ago.
Oh, I cut my hair off.
Did you look in the mirror?
I cut my hair off so I didn't look like Marty.
Exactly.
And then Sky cut my hair.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, you know, whatever. Blair will do anything for a story.
Hi, I'm Jill Ward from Flips with Death. And this question is for Gina. Just coming off of Scattered Light, of course, and now returning kind of to the place where you first started your career, although you had a great run on Dying Light, went into movies and things of that nature. Just explain, I'm imagining you kind of have mixed emotions just about returning here and, you know, kind of getting back to coming full circle, I should say.
Yes. You know, it does seem to look like it would be full circle, right? Because I started here, then went off, and now I'm coming back. But it doesn't really feel that way. It actually feels like I'm picking up and doing something a little different with Kelly. Certainly time has passed. There are some old faces and some new faces. There's a lot of great energy here right now. It's just a real tight place. And I sense that from when Frank and I were talking months ago, when I came in to visit, and I hadn't said yes or anything. I just kind of came in, and the point was to feel and to look and to listen and to ask questions, and I knew it. I knew that this was not going, this was going to certainly pick up where we left off, where my Kelly left off. And that to me is exciting. I get to work with the girls, I get to work with you girls, and that's the challenge, number one, to breathe new life into the Kramer women, to bring new strength, and to bring it to a new place. That, to me, is exciting. So it's new, actually. It does feel new. Yeah. That's kind of heavy, isn't it?
Roger Newcomb with We Love Soap. I'm one of the people who said One Life to Live was the best soap last year.
And we love it! You need to be first in line.
What do you guys see as the biggest strength of the show? Like, and if people aren't watching, why should they watch One Life to Live?
Because Snoop Dogg is on.
Oh, we've got great entertainment.
Yeah, true.
It's very edgy. It's unpredictable. You know, there's an electric unpredictability and surprise factor on a daily basis, and I think that's cool. And the cast is not vanilla or homogenized. You distinctly know when you've landed on Landview. You're not confused. Is this that show or that show? I think our people do look atypically fabulous.
Right.
Yep. Yes.
I think it's because we are entertaining. We have a really strong writer that's been with our show. We have an executive producer who has been there since he was in a diaper. So we have people that have been on this journey a long time that aren't just coming in trying to throw some stuff up and say, oh, let's do this. I mean, they are being extremely creative, but they also are honoring history. And that's what we're doing here today. With the Kramer Room, we're honoring history. And if you don't know where you've been, you're certainly not going to know where you're going. And this is where we have been. And we have a great journey to go with these women. And we'll hopefully arrive at a really special place, and you'll be entertained along the way.
I think it's also like not overwhelmingly dramatic all the time. You know, it's funny a lot of the times. And even with, you know, Snoop Dogg, the music artists, and the music that we do, and when characters sing, and you know, I think that's what's so great and different about One Life to Live is that they switch it up a lot. It's not just destined.
We do crazy fantasy stuff.
Yeah, crazy fantasy. Yeah. It's fun. You know?
I mean, we do things outside of what is atypically a soap opera.
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything.
You know,
and yet it still does good. That it sticks to that good formula. Yeah. Who knows who it is?
But it also is not afraid to make fun of itself to a certain extent. Like doing Grey Gardens, we took something, and it's, you know, it's just I love it. Cutting edge, like Robin.
Well,
Well, contrary to what Roger said, we love it too at DC.
Well, yeah. First on the show, did you
know, in other words, anybody who didn't name this the best show last year,
yeah, you just got to leave.
They're not here.
To find out who you are.
They're not here.
Yeah.
Hi,
I'm just
That's a real compliment.
I have a question for you, Laura.
Sure.
You recently made a splash on All My Children opposite Darnell Williams. Were you a little bit surprised to hear that the show was moving to LA?
I was surprised for the actors. They're such a great, talented group down there, and I felt a little stunned that they would even ask people who had based their lives here in New York City to pick up and go to LA. So that's what surprised me. I was happy to hear they weren't closing the show. So I figured, okay, a move is better than a close. But it seemed a little, it did. Like, because I know like Darnell just moved back here, and Debbie had moved, and Seuss, of course. Like what Seuss is going to do.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised by that, yeah. Torsten's here with Susan, and I've been reading your blogs, and you know, who's going, who's not going, so finding out myself.
Gabby Winkle, Soap Opera Weekly. Laura, what's Cassie been up to?
Well, that's a great question. I'm in Savannah, right? I need a little help here.
Drinking a lot of alcohol.
I need a lot of tea lately.
Tea.
I have children. How many children do I have?
You have River.
River. And do I have other children? Because I'm babysitting a lot, right?
I think just River. A lot of charity and social.
I haven't seen me very much since Laura lives in New York City. I guess I must be very busy as Kathy in Savannah. So,
are you married to Andrew?
No.
But we love when we see Andrew, and I do wish we would see Kathy. Kathy more.
Kirby's coming back. Andrew's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
There must be a funeral.
Yeah.
No.
No.
He gives a great eulogy. The red eye. The guy is there.
All the Kramer
are married.
All the Kramer
are married.
That is awesome.
That was story.
That is great.
Dorian is married. We want to point out Dorian is married to Amelia.
No.
Really? Blip on her radar.
I heard about that, mother.
Yeah, we're not going there. We're not.
I should have brought her out of hiding in Savannah. Brought everybody else out of hiding.
We've touched earlier on the legacy of the Kramer women and kind of how mental illness has cast a shadow on all of the women to some extent, and Cassie actually had that struggle several years back. I just wonder if each of you can relate to how your character has coped with that legacy. It is something that the different characters have struggled with, and at the same time they're so empowered. There is the grandmother and the previous generation that often even had to be institutionalized due to mental health issues, and now Cassie had to deal with that. How do you feel about, do you hope the show is going to address that, or is that going to be addressed in the upcoming months?
I hope so, in the sense that the Kramer women as a family tree, if I'm the trunk, it's those roots and the mystery
we're the branches,
and there's the water, all the elements.
That's God.
I'm lost in my metaphor, but I think it would be great because they're very disparate, they're very different, they're all and yes, go into it. Go into it respectfully, not as a joke. Mental illness is a disease that affects many, even chronic depression. The stats are enormous in this country, so I think it could be interesting, or it could be not if it's not handled well. Mm-hmm. But it certainly informs all of our work. Even my adopted daughter, Langston, isolated in a house for like 14 months, pretending to everybody in the world their parents weren't dead. And I always, every time I want to go, hi, Langston, blah, 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 blah. Are we ever going to talk about the fact that this child was living alone, pretending her parents were still alive for 14 months? That's just, you know, it's like the nuggets of gold that could be mine, you know. And I love my mentally ill sisters who had terrible trouble coping, gave birth to daughters with whom I have an easier time relating open-heartedly than I do with my own daughters. Her relationships are complicated to the point of toxicity. And yet, unconditional over Blair. And I'm sure you'll see it with the Kelly again.
And we're still jealous about that.
It's an issue.
But it's one of these things also with mental illness, with Addie actually being sick a couple of years ago, unbeknownst to you guys, they were going to kill Addie off. And this is when Addie was simple Addie, not after she took her pill and she was obviously healed, as we have of late. But Robin and I were like, what? You can't kill. It was probably the biggest Kramer moment, because she provides, in that mental illness, provided so many opportunities to, she would expose the truth behind Blair's love for Max to Todd, or Dorian's secret for whatever. And so we actually saved the death of a Kramer woman, and they didn't kill her. They didn't.
We suited up. We were ready to go to the mat. You were like, don't kill Addie. And then it turned out that direct people all over the studio, when they heard, were like, at their end. I mean, the lighting lighting designers were writing, you can't kill Addie.
No, they've got a picture that Addie is drawn up, and they're stuck in the sound booth that, you know, that Pamela painted when she was crazy Addie.
Save Addie! Save Addie!
Thank God.
Also, when they address mental illness on the show, personally, from my experience, it's the best storyline. Mm-hmm. It's deep, it's intense, it's fun.
You don't get to wear makeup, which
you
is
don't
really
get to wear makeup. It's messy, and on daytime, that's such a treat.
Yeah.
I had the best work when I was crazy, insane, sick. Besides, now they did better drugs.
Yeah, and you know, Blair saw Crazy Margaret, and you know, I said, you really have to be very careful with this, because you can't just have Blair have a hallucination and not think that maybe this is she going crazy. And you know, so they had to change a couple of things in the script, because it's something that you really, based on the family's history, you have to be very careful on how you write any type of fantasy or hallucination, because it might come read to the avid fan, oh my God, she's going crazy like the rest of them. We had to address some stuff that way.
Is Cassie in therapy, or in your mind, is she cured, or is she better? Or?
I think she's on good medication. Constant therapy. Why do you think she stayed away from Landry so long?
Stayed away from her mother.
Anyone else?
I guess.
You haven't asked a question?
I know. I was waiting for the right time.
Boom.
Oh, okay.
It's going to end up being philosophical. Sorry to end on a heavy note. Dan Kroll from Soap Central.
Hi, Dan.
Why do you think, for a genre that is typically geared towards women, there aren't larger families that are composed of women? I can think of one other family on daytime. And typically, maybe not strong women tend to be sort of meek and mild, and the Kramers definitely are not.
I remember watching Young and the Restless back when I was probably 12, 13, and they had the Forrester sisters.
Brooks.
Is that what it was?
Leslie, Laurie, Brooks.
Yeah. Jill and
Foster.
Oh, the Foster. No, Foster only had one woman. There were four Brooks sisters.
That's, well, whoever there was. That would be fun to be a part of it. I don't know why. I think, you know,
it should.
Well, they are.
So. Women have come into their own in the last few decades.
Yeah, I just found out yesterday that women now are the number one
they beat men in the workforce.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but they felt that 51 women, you know,
not watching soaps, obviously. But.
Well.
But is he the my first thing is, like,
honey, that's because we work cheaper.
I did say that.
You know, glass ceiling. You know, they're out there bargain shopping. Oh, I'm sorry. I took this in another direction. But when you come, we started with what's special about the Kramer women and the strength and the whatever and the power and the unpredictability where there are all of us. Oh, and we're all single and we found all of that out. So, without dissing the other shows about why there are more sort of helpless lilies, I'm glad that it works because it just kind of happened. They let us get to that incrementally. It's just kind of like we made these choices, those choices. Well, I'm not going to cry here. I can remember whether it's I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and fight back and take, you know, because you do have a bit of that power to be positively subversive when you see something like, oh, weepingly, blah, 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 and you go, well, you know, maybe not. How do you like this? And you show it to them with some strength behind it.
Dorian would never allow us to wallow in our own pity. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, that's kind of what she always puts out there for the Kramer girls, and we just kind of do as she
says.
No wonder why we're all single.
Oh, right. Because I like those foster avid girls or whatever. Yeah, but thank you. That was
awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, any other next
questions in the group, or do you want to get some food and we do a little one-on-one?
Yeah.
Okay.
One-on-one
chicken salad.
Are you okay?
I have some.
Okay, well, that was the first half of the luncheon. That's the group Q&A. And I have to say thank you to We Love Soaps, Roger and Damon and Galena Dixon and the people that were there from ABC Soaps in Depth, SoapNet, Soap Opera Weekly, Soap Digest, Dan Kroll, Daytime Confidential, because, you know, they made it so much fun. When I literally tell you we were in this long-ass conference room, but it was very narrow, we were literally, like, rubbing up on each other, just trying to get by each other just to get some food. So after we ended that session, just picture, you know, big office windows and, you know, how they have the radiators, the windowsills and stuff. Well, the food is lined up, and Robin was like, oh, screw it. Let's just put everything on the table, and we'll do it family style. So everyone pitched in, and we put everything on the table, and everybody just kind of sat and picked over each other, and it was just, you know, like one big Thanksgiving meal with family. Everybody sat and talked and off the, you know, without the recorders going. It was just generally really, really a wonderful time. And I have to say thank you to Lori Hogan for actually putting it on. It was very decent of her to do that. And it was decent of her to showcase the Kramer women because, you know, they're the bomb, man. Let's see here. We have another part to go through, but I'm going to pick up Linda real quick. Hi, Linda.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm just getting caught up. I'm just enjoying listening to them. I mean, everything is so crisp and clear. Mm-hmm. It's like you're in the same room. I mean, you did a great job. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Awesome. And I have a secret about that audio. Well, you know, I was on the phone with you the night that I came back to my hotel room, and yeah, I accidentally erased my track of that audio. So I have to say, Damon Jacobs from WeLoveSoaps.com, he was kind enough to send me his clip because he had the recording on the whole time as well. So we all had the same thing, and you know, so he sent me a copy of it so I wouldn't be without. So thank you to Damon and Roger for doing that. So yeah, it was a great time. And then after that, we just sat down and, like I said, broke bread. And I just have to say that the energy that these women put out, there's no wonder that they have such dynamic chemistry on screen. Because when they're not sitting there reading a script or saying false lines, they're just like the best friggin' people to hang out with. I mean, you could really just sit there all day and just talk.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that they really genuinely, you know, get along and care about each other, and that is so evident. And like you said, it carries over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It definitely does.
And
so,
it was good hearing that revelation about Addie. I never knew that they were considering killing her. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I know. Could you imagine?
No. No, not
well,
at all.
Yeah,
that was
crazy.
A moment.
Mm-hmm. It definitely was. So the next piece we're going to hear, again, like I said, completely unedited. So you may hear some garbles and whatever. So hopefully the audio will be really clear. Like I said, I shoved the microphone right in their face. You probably won't freaking hear me, but you'll hear them, which is okay, because that's
well,
who we're here for.
I can hear you.
All right. So I'm going to cue up the next audio. Where are we? Here we go. So everyone, sit back and enjoy. Linda, I'm going to slap you on hold.
You bet.
All right, so this is our mic. Okay, so if you all have a type of Kramer women, you're the newest Kramer woman, you know, do you feel any pressure living up to the biological Kramer women?
Yeah.
Being adopted?
Well, I mean, she definitely does feel comfortable, but she definitely also learns a lot from them, and I think that helps in kind of the process of becoming a true Kramer woman, you know, because she is kind of hopping into this family that it has this foundation and has this strength and has this kind of base already there. So, you know, she does have to kind of live up to the expectations, but I think they help her along the way, and they give her that strength, and they show her, look, you're going to live with us, like, we're strong women, we do it this way, so you're just going to have to, like, learn. And I think she does. She learns as she goes. So, definitely.
And how are you feeling with the baby?
Oh, working with the baby is great. I think it really makes a scene real because the baby is so unpredictable. She's not our age. She's not able to take direction. Yeah. So
it's great.
She feels like crying. She's gonna cry.
And that's real life.
That's real life. And it really it puts Brandon and I in the situation of a mom and dad. And it's interesting to see how I deal with the baby and how he deals with the baby. And it's very real and present, and you can't you know, you can't do anything about it. It's gonna happen. And that's what I love it when she's in scenes, because it makes them really real. And not only do you have to know your lines inside and out, because the first time I worked with the baby was actually Brittany. She was climbing all over the place in my arms, and I wasn't used to it. And I just started saying random lines that weren't even my lines.
It's just distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said, oh, well, you know, you're young or something. I'm like, I know, I'm 16, and really my character is 17, and I knew that, but I just wasn't even thinking.
Yeah.
So, I really had to get used to that, and I did. And I think you even tend to ad-lib a little with the baby and switch it up, and it makes it seem more real and present. Yeah, it's very natural. I mean, even when we're in group scenes together and they have the baby, I remember we were in Dorian's house one time in the living room. I think it was for her birthday, and she was supposed to sit on Star's lap, and she started crawling away. And so I just scooped her up, and me and Marco just, you know, kind of chilled with the baby. And it was just kind of like, okay, well, this is exactly what it would be like, you know.
Exactly.
She lives in this house with all the Kramers. She has all that love and support, and we do. And so it was like something that wasn't even written, but it's very like
it makes all the scenes make sense,
real, and have a natural exactly. It was really cute. Also, I think it's fun to watch Brandon with the baby, and it's me. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's gonna be such a cute little dad. Yeah, one time we were actually down in the basement, and she ran around the corner, and Brandon was at the end of the hallway, and she went, Dada! And we all went, oh, no!
Oh, no!
It's become that real. Yeah, she loved
so
the one baby, her name is Molly, and she loved working with us. There's three of them. And as they've gotten older, Molly's really taking a loving to it, and the other one's not so much. So it's always usually Molly who's working with us. So she calls Brandon Dada from time to time.
Really cute.
It's so cute.
Oh, my gosh.
It's fun.
Well, that's all I'm
going to
do with you guys, because I was going to work to have you come back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to your mom.
Oh, great.
I like to have the band. They have a lot of questions for you, but I'd rather, let them do their thing.
I think that's also really helped. I've been on Twitter with a lot of my fans.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
You're awesome with the Twitter, girl.
I'm kind of obsessed with it.
Yes, you are. You and your number one fan, Tony Ann.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. She's great. She's actually working on helping me develop my new website.
Really?
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Yeah, that's great. She's very dedicated and sweet and really great. Yeah. It's always so funny if I say, oh, I need to go work out. She's like, oh, please, you're perfect. Don't say that about yourself. And, she's always,
supportive
and positive.
Yeah, she is. She gets a lot of flack from other fans.
Oh, I know. They're very mean to her.
They're mean to her. They feel like there's a favoritism thing going on or something, and it's like, oh, look, you're close to Charlie's video, and you're close to Kristen. What do you do?
You'll be nice. You just be yourself.
I get that on and I blast everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the people, you just have to know that they're bored, they don't have anything else going on, they want to be negative, they want to be mean, and really, if they're taking the time out to do that, then there's something not so right going on with them. And that's why I don't take offense to people that write. I actually laugh at some of the stuff that they say. I just go, oh, you know, this is so ridiculous. That's why I tell Tony Ann, I'm like, don't ever listen to them.
That's what I told her too, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a really good girl.
She's very nice. She's so sweet. Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to end it here with you guys and with everybody else. And I'll contact your mom.
Okay.
And you have to stay in touch with me. You're
never around.
I know. So, I'm getting, a lot of people, the kids, they want you to back on to be able to ask their own questions. Especially even now with this other guy.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions.
Yes, there is.
And Stardust Radio is a great place to not just to write it. Sometimes you can't get your emotions.
Oh, yeah.
When I talk to them and stuff, there was a lot of flack about Brandon being older than I was, and I really wanted to set the record straight because people were saying that he's forcing her to do this, and I got on and I was like, they're absolutely not. Brandon is so sweet. I want you guys to know that this is not affecting, I love working with him. And after that, people really weren't talking about it anymore. They were like, no, they're great. They have a big
difference.
Nothing like.
And then even when you start Twitter and do Facebook and stuff, there's so many people that don't believe that it's you.
Exactly.
Oh, she's got somebody doing that for her.
Is out. What are the synapses? I really hold on to it. Okay, it matters. And the obsessive part of it is when I go, oh, this pillow is. It's. Can we get a better? Where my set details. I'll
arrive on set and they'll, the prop men will go, I'll go, there's a picture of Star with Todd. Dorian wouldn't have Dorian would never have a picture of Todd in her house,
right,
even if Star's in it.
Right,
some cute Star pictures, but blah, blah, blah. You know, so the details matter. And there is, I would not want to see that dropped. The child, as I said earlier, Langston was hiding out in a house, pretending her parents were still alive, to all of her friends, to the grocery store.
Right.
You know, please deliver. My mother wants this. My mother wants that.
Right.
Thank you. You know, and we'll have bill it to my parents' account, whatever.
Right.
She just kept this story going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went in there and got her out of that house, brought her home to me, wanted to adopt her, which is cool. But I think that story should be told.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see something with her and maybe Kelly's character, because Kelly was always kind of like the baby, you know, other than Star, but Star's mom is there, you know. So
right.
Kelly always looked up to Doreen as a mother figure.
Yeah.
So
I think Kelly was abandoned for most of her life.
Right.
Shunted around because of her mother's mental illness.
Right.
Various incarcerations and limitations. So
that could either bring them closer together, that experience, or make them adversaries for your attention.
This is an awesome group of actresses in this Kramer Woman collection, and that would be a wonderful pairing. You know, they all work well with each other, and they all work deep and very specifically. I thought Kristen's work during the baby storyline was awesome.
Oh,
I'm still not sure.
Yeah,
I'm still not sure she got enough honor for that because she rocked that. Not sure because I thought it was black belt. She and Brandon Buddy. Her very sensitive work, and so she's capable of it. But you did know, I didn't feel like I would. When she was 6 and a half, they had tried some other little girl who was hopeless. I mean, sometimes they'll keep kid actors around going, well, what can you do?
Right.
But this young lady was really so much didn't want to be there, couldn't. They said, we recast, and here's the new little girl. Would you be nice to her? Would you show her around? Would you whatever? And they let her out. And we spoke a few words, ran the lines to the scene. And you could see this kid wanted to be an actress, this young woman. You know, there was, you know, where you look at kids and you go, there's an old soul in there. She always wanted to be there. She always was listening, very adapted, very fast.
She's a great girl.
Her mom, let's do a mom shout out. You know, you see so many sad stories about kid actors, and there are enormous sacrifices that families make when there is a professional child. Sometimes it's economics and it's driven by necessity. Other times it's driven by a parent with an ego who maybe wanted that for themselves. And then there is a group of children who just, well, if I thought I had the right to talk my mother into it, it would have been a 3 and a half when I saw Peter Pan.
Right.
I made up my mind that I wanted to be an actor. I just didn't know that you could say, Mom, I want to be a professional actor, and really keep pulling your parents' sleeve, because she did. And her brother Eddie got the job because he was watching, he was interested, he was, you know, absorbing it like a sponge, just being the brother hanging out when his mother would be around. And when he went to audition for the role of Matthew, he just, you know, there was nobody else who was going to play it. Nobody else. But he also looked like Bob Wood's son, real life son, is amazing. So we knew that Kristen at 6 and a half was a Kramer woman. That was it. She had it. She had it coming and going.
She was great. Oh God, I just lost my train of thought. Out of all the men that Dorian's been married to, who would you want to see brought back as a full-time partner if they were going to pair her up with somebody?
Okay. I am smiling when I say this, but there is no quicker end to interesting story on daytime television than a so-called happy marriage. So I don't know if Dorian is the candidate for that or if my appetite as an actress calls me to, oh, she needs a nice man, a happy long-term relationship. Her entanglement with the men that she had, I joke, but I'm dead serious, is I would like them all back. Nathan Fillion as Joe. Only Nathan, thank you.
Yes.
Somebody has on, like, Facebook, nothing but me and Nathan making out. It's so many scenes.
Really?
I watched it. Please, I'm sorry. It was so erotic. I thought, my God, there's something really twisted about this. I'm finding this very exciting, watching myself kissing. Oh, well, but Nathan Fillion. Oh, my God. So I had to stop watching. Nathan Fillion, Chuck Watkins only as David. That's very specific. Mel Hayes, his body was never found. My wonderful Stephen Markle came back and is doing a very, very key scene. It relates to what Cassie was saying about times when we see visions or we see something. I, not to confuse, it would be another interview. I really do believe in an afterlife, and I believe that we cross over, and I believe that people can come back in their presence. I really do. I don't have a problem with it. So when they said, it's Mel. Mel comes to you and tells you you're doing a terrible thing, and we have this long scene. I just went for it. It was real to her. I don't think of it as insanity. And I know a very, very successful woman in our industry. I won't out her because I don't have her permission, who is convinced her dead, who knows that her husband who passed 8 years ago is still in the house watching after her and taking care of her. She says he turns off lights, which is what he did when he was here.
Really?
Yeah. When the scene airs and we get a lot of mail, I will email this person because I did check with her when she said it to me at an event. I said, is that? She said, spread the truth, dear. Spread the truth.
There you go.
So, I want her permission.
Right.
Yeah, I was very honored. I know somebody who knows John Edwards, and I called John Edwards,
right,
and I asked his advice.
Right.
I didn't think that I could change the way they were writing it, but I wanted to be informed about the way that I was playing it. And he was most invested in making the point that it not be done in a campy way.
Right.
And I went, oh, no,
right.
I watch your show.
Yeah.
I totally believe in this.
Right.
There's no way, since it's in the way in which I will play it, that I would make a choice that didn't
right.
honor the fact that, yeah,
right. no,
this is
John
entirely
Edwards.
Possible.
Yeah. I agree with
right?
you.
You better have your Kleenex
you.
Ready when that
oh,
show's
man.
On the air.
I agree with you. I
right?
With you. Oh, wow. No, we've got two down the line.
All right, everyone. That was the end of my little stint with Robin. Linda, are you there? Hello? Okay. Well, in any event, you guys can hear me in the chat room, right? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Type it in the chat room if you... Oh, okay, good. Oh, you know, I'm talking to myself here. Hello. All right, yeah, that was the end of Robin. She had to move on to the other press people that were there. But fortunately for you guys, she will be coming to do a live Q&A with us on Stardish Radio. And I couldn't be more thrilled that she agreed to do it. It was just, you know... But, of course, all I ask is that everyone be respectful and don't go ridiculously personal with questions. You know, I mean, Robin is someone who definitely can hold her own, but, you know, got to give the diva some respect. She's just one classy lady. Sitting there in the room with all of those women, the presence, the strength that emanated off of all of them was just incredibly... Oh, my God. I don't even know how. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable, the feeling that they gave you. And as I was saying to Linda earlier, that, that they're just fabulous women, and it shows how it comes off on screen. So let me see here. So make sure you definitely come back for that. Now, I don't know if any of you guys watch The Doctors. I know here where I live, it's on ABC. I don't know. It might be on CBS where you guys are. Dr. Andrew Ordon, he's one of the doctors on the show, The Doctors, which I believe was started by Dr. Phil. He'll be joining me on the 26th of January at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Then also, for some of you guys, if you're interested in fitness or what to do health-wise, how to keep yourself fit, and nutrition-wise, how to eat right, I'm going to be having fitness expert Forbes Riley on the show on the 28th. I guarantee you, if you see her picture, you've definitely passed her by an infomercial. She does the infomercials for Jack LaLanne. She's done tons and tons and tons of stuff. So I sent out the invites on Facebook. So make sure you look at it, read the bio before you make your snap decisions, my soapies that you all do, before you decide that you're not going to show up for that one. I don't know if anyone else is going on Rock the Soap too. Definitely book your cruise if you can. Scott Clifton was added to the list, so I know you guys will be happy about that. Scott Clifton is going to be going on Rock the Soap, so make sure you go visit that, rockthesoap.com. Yes, I did say Forbes. No, not March. No, Forbes is a busy guy. No, you know what? I never met anyone else named Forbes before until now, so that's just amazing. But she's a really spunky chick, and I encourage you guys to go read the invitations that I sent you for her. She's definitely someone, she's only going to be with me for 30 minutes, but she'll be able to answer any kind of fitness questions, any kind of nutritional questions that you guys have. She's actually being inducted into the Hall of Fame of Fitness because she's just so spot on and perfect. So make sure you check her out, and she's a trainer to the stars as well. Dr. Andrew Ordon, he is plastic surgeon to the stars, and on the panel of the doctors that Dr. Phil put together, and he will be coming on to answer questions. We're going to go over facts and myths about plastic surgery, what's good, what's not, when should you, if you should, all those kind of things, so definitely check that out. And I encourage you all to please go visit the new website, stardishradio.net. It's up. It's revamped. Definitely not completely finished. I'm still adding content to it. There's going to be a news section and a media section and all kinds of stuff, but there is a guest book, so I do want you to go sign in so I know who's been popping by. And each time that you go check it, definitely sign in so I know who's there and who's not. Let's see, what else do we got going on here? A few things in the works that I'm not really going to talk about, just to keep it a little surprise. Yeah, but just keep checking. If you go on the stardishradio.net, it has all the links to Twitter and Facebook, so definitely visit that and visit it often in the next month or so, because I'm adding new stuff to it every day. I just wanted to make sure that it was published and up and running, so it's not where I want it yet, but it will get there. I have to say Tony Ann is helping me with that. K-A-O is so great one. K-A Rocks, O-L-T-L. She's in the chat room. She's helping me with it all. So make sure you check that out. Let me see who I got here. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong page. Hello? I can't pick it. Linda, you there? I can't pick anybody up off the switchboard. Let me see. What I do, well, you know what? Let me see who this is.
I'm still on there.
There we go. We got Tony. Tony's on.
That's right. Still
yeah,
here.
I'm having issues. Having issues. So what did you think, Tony?
Oh, man. It feels like I was there, you know, and all of them asked so many questions. I feel like I was right in that room when you see with all of them there talking about their roles, talking about their how their characters and all that, and just having laughing, having a good time, and sharing the stories and the memories they have. And Robin, oh, man, she is a class act, no doubt about that. And I cannot wait for a week from Sunday night to talk to her live.
Oh, yes. She is some kind of presence, boy, I tell you. She really is. Just to be, I have to say that I was a little flustered when she sat down next to me. And it was really funny. A little off the air stuff that happened. What is this? Breaking news from Soap Opera Network: David Kreisman and Donna Swajewski are the new co-head writers for All My Children. Okay, cool beans. Maybe the show will get better.
Yeah, and I want to give you another bit of breaking news earlier today. Katie McClain is coming back to All My Children.
Yes, Katie McClain is going to be making a return comeback for a short stint. I'm actually waiting for her to give me a ring back so we could talk about that. So that might actually be in print on the website, or we might do it with an audio. I'm not really sure yet.
That's real good.
I do want to say something to everyone. Because I don't like how gossip gets out of control. So I would like to say, you guys may have seen in Soap Opera Digest that Bob Guinea and Rebecca Buttig have split up. And I can confirm that they are separated, but that's it. There's one quote at people.com, because this is the source, people.com, there is a quote from them, and that's the only thing that's true, and it says that they're just not sure what the future holds. They love each other, they're best friends, and you never know what the future holds. So don't go believing the bullshit that people put out just to sell papers. Bob is a dear, dear friend, and so is Rebecca. And
oh.
I just wish them the best and hope that they can work things out now that they're both
Amen.
On the same post.
Amen.
And, they're very good friends of Stardish Radio and of mine. And, again, just don't believe the bullshit, okay? That's what I'm saying. Don't read into the tabloids.
Don't below the hype.
Any
don't
of the nonsense.
Hype.
That's it. Don't believe in it. Everybody wishes they can work it out, and just keep them in your head, keep them in your thoughts, and wish good things, send some good vibes to them so they can work it out, because they definitely belong together. You know,
yeah, that's
every
right.
couple hits their bumps in the road, and I have no doubt that they'll smooth out that bump soon.
So yes, I just wanted to clear that up because the gossip does get out of control sometimes. And
I'm doing
all that, you know, so.
They do. And they take the little thing like that and just twist it. You just don't,
exactly.
You just don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Exactly. So let me see. So before I let, what's going on? Yes, Bob and Rebecca are the best people. I have to agree. Before I let everybody go, we are going to go back over real quick the schedule. Sunday, and this is a rare thing for me, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, will be a live podcast with Robin Strasser. We are going to take phone calls. She's going to answer questions, but I do encourage people to email me questions also, just in case you don't get picked up on the phone, you know, for whatever reason. You know how reliable the switchboards can be sometimes. Sarcasm inserted
Wait,
there. So just, you know, go to the new website and click on the email me. Come on, this will give you guys an excuse to and get used to going back to the new website. The 26th, Dr. Andrew Ordon from The Doctors. He is the Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. On that panel, he will be joining me. We're going to talk myths about plastic surgery and other health-related issues and talk about his show, The Doctors. This is his second season. And then the incredible Forbes Riley, the infomercial fitness gadget queen, will be joining me on Thursday, but she wants to take phone calls from the audience and questions about fitness, how to stay fit in 2010, nutritional questions. She's a single mom of twins. She has twins. So, you know, she knows how to juggle her stuff. So she can definitely give everybody tips on how to stay fit and how to stay healthy for the new year.
Oh, absolutely.
So, definitely come and check that out. And I know my soapies in the chat room are already yawning at the thought of listening to somebody other than a soap actor. But you know what? Get over it and Get over it and open up your minds to other things. So also there was an actor singer that I had on the show last night, Ohenny Cornelius. He does some pretty fabulous stuff. He's on Facebook, and you guys can find him at www. I'm putting it in the chat room. Ohenny Cornelius.com. He does some pretty funky music, and he does some really good short movies, and he does a lot of comedy on funnyordie.com. He's a good guy, and I'll tell you, man, his education, it will knock your friggin' socks off. He studied in London. He actually turned down a spot in the Harlem Boys Choir to go fulfill his dream into making as a solo artist and doing all his stuff. Tammy, you weren't home for last night's show. That's okay. As long as you listen to other ones, you'll be getting a pass. You'll get a whole pass if you listen to the other ones because I will be checking. So really, that's about it, my people. And I'm going to leave you guys with some music from Ohenny Cornelius, because he debuted his newest single with me last night, and it's called Love Is, and it's a really, really great song, and I'll be playing music till the switchboard dies down. So check out Ohenny Cornelius and his new song, Love Is. For the rest of you, I will see you back here on the 24th.
That's
and
right.
Keep checking Facebook and the new website for more guests to come for next week. See you next time.
Take care.
Thank you.
Here is another track by O. Henny Cornelius called Fine Wine.
1978, like 1983, 1983. The gift of gab, I used to get my wealth. Here in my Delta, sort of feeling myself. Grab her wrist from my agua, take a sip. God bless you, miss. Now I slowed you down, hear this. Making moves, half a grand in my hand. I'm the man, imagine me front of microphone stand. Feeling my beat, off the jump, let you know it's me. Mr. Making Love is more than just hands and feet. Drive me crazy with your molecules. Let me know, make the move, I'll move off of you. I play the track, you can sway off my groove. I hear she wanna do what lovers do, yes.
Thank you. the only one with ish to do. Places to go, money issue to you, faces you know. We both on that upward ladder. Give me the proper amount of time, I properly get at you. I ain't deaf, I ain't stressed, I am blessed. Body, voice, and the rest. I embody the choice to choose the best. From the cess that I pass to the breast that I kiss. And you the best I've seen all day. Head to toe, I mean it always. You my next. And the things I wanna say, you won't get it in the text. So I have to say it after sex. In the midst of dripping sweat, I listen to your lips wet. Speak. Make your mind leak when your body's weak. Love story.